Call this Finance Committee meeting to order. I need approval of adoption amendment of agenda.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I need a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Approval of the May 15 minutes, I'm sure you got them in your packet. I'll need a motion and a second on that one.
Mr. Chairman, I so move approving the minutes as presented.
All right, any second?
I'll second it.
Any second? Any more discussion? Not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. All right, preliminary budget proposal and discussion between Karen and Aaron.
Karen and Aaron.
So, at the last board meeting, we talked about the preliminary budget. This is the same document that was in the May packet. It does not include any amount for wages at this point because that was not something we wanted to tackle in this committee meeting. We were going to talk about the RLBSS and how to handle that for the 2019, budget. So, a couple of you weren't here last time. I'll try to recap what we discussed, but feel free to chime in here, Randy.
All right.
I might miss pieces here. So, Regional Library Basic System Support is our state aid. It's roughly about 17% of our budget. We have to guess at the amount from one year to the next. Last year, we guessed and we underguessed by about $100,000. And so there was a surplus at the end of the year. Now, the surplus was not state funds. The state funds are expended. The state's on a fiscal year, we're on a calendar year. So when we report back to the state, those dollars are reported as expended. We use it all for personnel for public service. So the overage was effectively what went into the unassigned fund balance and would have been the net of county receipts and unexpended personnel dollars. So for the purpose of 2019, we could build in a portion of that surplus, but what happens then is it's one-time funds, and so it's a one-time offset and could set us up for something goofy in 2020. We also don't know what the state funding will be for next year. So we did budget more money for state funding based on the averages, but I've said before, it could go either way. We could have $100,000 less this year, just as likely as we had $100,000 more. We did budget $35,000 more than what we budgeted for 2018, knowing that we did have a surplus. But the discussion, we need guidance from this group as to how to treat the surplus funds from RLBSS last year in the 2019 budget.
If I may, Karen, we'll never have to pay that back.
We do not have to pay it back. No, because we expend it. It's state funds that are expended. And it was less than a 10% change in our reporting, so we did not have to resubmit the application.
And they won't penalize us for that either, I'm assuming,
no,
right?
No, because it's all spent on personnel. And the way we have it allocated, it's personnel that if the state doesn't pick it up, we don't cut hours. We just build it right into the existing training budget, the existing meetings budget.
So if we use the 2019 or 2018 numbers and we fall short for 2020, I mean, I don't see that as a big problem when you go back to the counties that the state didn't. It's kind of like we're used to that, right? I mean, we're used to the states falling short on funding it. I don't see that as a big deal if they fall short. I think that we need to make that whatever we get, we spend, and we don't keep charging the counties and have a surplus on that.
So if I'm understanding it, you want to take it all for one budget?
Well, I would just, say we get 100,000 more this year than next year, just we build it into the budget. But if we fall short,
this dollar amount that we have right now,
right.
You're just saying expend that to 2019. Is that what you're saying? And
don't worry about what's going forward. That's a cell that we have no control in, and your county boards are used to that when the state doesn't come up with enough money for projects. We see it every budget session.
So Okay, we've never budgeted that way here. And I think that's why we have such a large unassigned fund balance right now. We've never budgeted with the intent of overspending the budget, you know.
Right.
And that's effectively what you're talking about, is not creating.
Well, you're not overspending the budget.
Right, we're going to balance it, but we might.
You're spending the allocation because of the time, you don't know what the allocation is. We do know what it's going to be, so we can work it into the budget. I don't know, that's my thought. That's only one thought.
And my thought again is the challenge would be is how would you spread that out amongst the counties? You know, because if it's 100,000.
It'd run through the formula.
It would, that's how you'd do it?
Yep.
Well, looks
like. Unless you guys want to do something different, but.
I don't know, that's just my thought, and I'm new, so.
Well, Mr. Chair, I know we talked about this at the last meeting, and I mean, I'd be foolish to say we shouldn't do it. But on the other hand, I say we need to be cautious, because if we would do this in a couple of years, continue this the way we do it, or are going to do it, if we're, you know, we could run into a problem of a big hit for our smaller counties down the road. But I just want to caution us, the bigger counties probably don't have to worry as much as the smaller counties as to having, if we did this 2 or 3 years in a row, and this became a habit, and all of a sudden we don't get this money, then it's a big hit on a smaller counties according to the formula.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I see it as we're going to go there once.
Well,
I'm
and then just,
I, you know, it'll
okay,
kinda,
once we do it, then it comes kind of, oh, that was nice, let's
no,
do it again.
You know, we'll have what we get in 2018 will be available to do the 2019 budget, and then if it's not there, we have to cut back immediately.
Well, just so we understand that.
Right. I mean, that seems pretty logical.
Take a deep breath, you guys. I heard the two magic words, budget reserve. And that's what that's for.
Yes, I know that.
I mean, building on your thought, you don't make a consistent habit of accessing that, but that's what it's there for when you need it.
Yes, I agree with that. But I'm just afraid we could get into a habit, and that's what I don't want to do.
Well, you know,
Mike,
that's
you
why
have
they got AA.
How about you, Mike?
I'm fine with how it's going. I don't have a problem. And I am sensitive to the smaller counties, because Wright County has the ability to absorb a problem. Some of the smaller ones, you don't have that.
Oh.
So I like the budget reserve. You've got to be a little bit conservative on how your money's coming in. Don't get in a big habit of this. But then when you do have that windfall once in a while, instead of handing back us $30,000 and them $3,000, do one-time expense or one-time things to help some of the maybe single staff branches or whatever, you know, help those things. I'd rather go that route when you're, because the accounting of getting the money back, you spend half that in accounting mess. Because you guys, the likes of him, every time there's an entry, it costs us money.
Anyway, can we bring this back to something? We've got to be able to tie this discussion in with something.
Hey, Karen, you want to proceed with that?
Well, currently we have $1.535 million in state aid budgeted. And we received, do you recall, Aaron?
I believe it was $1.6 million and change.
So we could budget off of last year's number.
For 18.
Rather than off of the
18.
It's currently a 5-year trend. We do need to know by July.
Right. Well, that's why we're having this meeting.
Right.
So we'll have to bring it to the board.
Yeah, like this is kind of the last time, unless there's a special meeting between now and the 4th of July.
Well, the board is going to look for a recommendation from this committee. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anything else out there? Any other discussion? I look at it this way, too. If the money's there, it's kind of giving it back to the counties, you know, it's because we over budgeted for it, you know what I'm saying? So in this case, if you do the formula based on that dollar amount, I gotta look at where are we at here. I'm not
page 7.
I know, but I'm gonna jump ahead,
okay.
Probably. But that's
the formula page
right,
is
yep.
page Well, and you can kind of see on the bottom too how those dollars shake out per $1,000 what each county would receive.
There it is. Then.
And under the current budget, up until I think it's 1.5% overall budget increase, three of the counties are seeing a reduction because of the way the formula shifts this year without changing anything with our LBSS.
Does the formula change from year to year?
Yes.
It does, okay.
Yeah, because we got hung last year, Morrison County did.
Nice and simple if it didn't.
There is one question with regard, we debated quite a bit last time too with regard the carrying balance, like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months on hand. Now, should that be factored into this decision?
That's coming up as the next agenda item. There's a lot, what was it? It was over $300,000. At the last board meeting, it was said that 6 months is the ideal number that we're shooting for a reserve. We had 6.44.
Yeah.
So 0.44 is over $300,000 more. So it's not just the RLBSS surplus that's there. It's a significant amount of money.
Karen, you said three of the counties, which is the, if we do it, that's if we do a 1%, right?
It's one and a half.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because 2% then the Morrison County, $4,500, I see.
Right,
so.
Right.
And then didn't we talk about what we were going to go for, like the union negotiations?
That will be later.
Well, I understand that, but the number was put out there at 2.5%, wasn't it? I can say it out loud. No, but okay, I shouldn't have done that, but that's fine. But anyway, that's my point, you know, on that one. So I don't know when I can bring that up, but closed session maybe. Okay, well, anyway, any more discussion on this?
Can you just explain to me what number we're looking at for this $100,000?
That amount would appear on page 7. Right now we have $1,535,000 budgeted. We could increase that amount.
Okay, thank you.
$1,535,000, yeah. Right? That's this one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now the state's giving us $1,006,000 or so.
So we'd increase that to what we got last year from the library services?
We can set whatever number we think we might get there.
Right. So last year we budgeted 1.5, but we ended up with 1.6.
Right.
So we got 100,000 now.
Well, yeah, but we're not guaranteed that that's going to be the number for.
It could go the other way.
No,
right?
It could change.
That's the problem.
That's the
we don't know. If you get too aggressive, then you have that problem.
Yep. I know.
If we don't shoot high enough, then we just got the excess again you got to deal with.
And you said the 5-year trend has been more than what you had budgeted, right?
And one of the reasons it shifted so dramatically last year, so there's 12 regional library systems. MALSA gets the most. They're based out of the metro area. And then Selco and Great River are second and third, depending on the year. The factors that go into that are area, which doesn't change a whole lot. There's a base number. And then there's population and equalization. And equalization is a function of both adjusted net tax capacity and population. And so MELSA only receives that equalization number for two counties. Mm-hmm. And we receive it for all six. And MELSA saw more than a $100,000 reduction in what they received for equalization for two of their counties last year. And so it shifted into the rest of the formula. And so we could very well end up in that boat at some point because we have counties like Wright and Sherburn, which prior to 2008 did not receive equalization in the formula. So it's possible that we could be impacted at some point. There's no way of predicting it. But as long as MELS is losing money, the other 11 regions generally get a little bit more. There's a couple that don't get any equalization money right now in the north because they have so much ag land.
Myself, personally, I would like to see a zero for Morrison County somehow.
We thought that we were headroom.
Well, you can do that without changing the RLBSS, though. That's the question on the table, really.
But that's why they come up with it.
Well, you need...
You guys comfortable enough with this to approve a recommendation to the full board?
I feel comfortable with, because, you know, again, when you got that guesswork, I mean, as much as you'd like to go 1.6 or something like that, I'd rather err on the side of caution, because if we don't get that money, then we're scrambling to readjust budgets to match other things. I mean, it's as much as you hate to have the surplus, we got the 6 months operating reserve, so I'm happy with that, because a lot of people are okay with 4 months. I'm more comfortable with six, because we never know what the state's going to do from time to time. And if we do get those instances where you get extra money, as much as you want to budget as tight as you can, there's too many wild cards in here for us to get that, the exact number. And those kind of instances, that's where I'm more into the friends, help some of these single-staffed libraries and some of these other ones, you know, make it more efficient for the whole system.
Are you comfortable, Mike?
I am.
Okay.
Is there any, because the state's based on what, 3 months reserve up to 6 months? Isn't that the?
That's our own policy.
Right.
Okay, so 3 to 6 months is our max, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're right at the cuff of going over.
We're at 6.44.
We are right. Over.
We are over.
Well, but again, so we could go over more yet next year.
Right.
You know, see, so that's where I'm looking at too. So, again,
I just think it's tough. You know, and I know. You know, we know the formula is going to change, or the money's going to change at some point in time. Everything does. You know, we're not going to have that kind of coming, and we're going to be on the other side of that. But I just think, as from what has happened in with county budgets and that on the last few years, I just think that if we don't give some of that back from where we went to, you know, the last 3 years, I just think that it's not a real good deal to come back forever to come back and say we need an increase. I mean, my county board does not want to see, you know, they don't want to see an increase. I mean, they would love to see a decrease from a couple of years ago. And I just think that we don't need to put any more in reserves. We're good with that, and I would be very comfortable taking the total 1.6 and put it in.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just don't want to make it a practice. I want to make sure we have a reserve policy that we follow. And,
right.
The nice thing about it, since we have the full 6 months, for some reason the 1.6 doesn't come to fruition, we can adjust it for...
As long as we follow our reserve policy. And
right. We're at
6.4.
So we're good on there.
I'm okay. What motion were you going to make, Lee?
okay.
What I'll do, Lee, is we'll bring it up with the board to have you make a recommendation. And if you want to do that, then we have full board, then you can make the motion. All we need is the correct terminology of the motion.
Karen, do a synopsis of the recommendation, would you? That'll help us.
Sure. Well, and I think it would be better to pass it here. Have this structured as a special meeting, so the only action in relation to the budget this meeting will be from the Finance Committee and as part of that report.
Yeah.
So based on what I'm hearing, the motion would be to change the amount budgeted for RLBSS for fiscal year, or for Great River's 2019 budget, to $1.6 million rather than the...
We got some reserves, so if some little glitch goes in there, we've got a little bit to cushion.
We still got some.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know, so technically we got...
That should bring you the relief your board wants.
At least two months.
So, Mr. Chair, my understanding is Lee is making that a motion to authorize the 1.6, and who's seconding it?
We didn't ask you to second it, but I'll ask for one.
I'll second it.
That's his proposal. Okay. Discussion, wasn't it?
Now we can.
Oh, you can discuss.
Yeah.
But we see
more.
I think we pretty well.
So, did you get it?
I think the horse is dead, but you can discuss some more.
So, it's to budget $1.6 million for RLBSS state aid in the 2019 budget.
Is that okay with you, Lee?
Yeah.
She just mentioned that. Okay. And the second, Eddie, is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Any more discussion on that one?
Is the horse dead yet?
No, I hope so.
Yeah, Eddie's second.
All right.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question with regard to Dave's comments about, do we have a policy on the books of saying we want 6 months reserve?
It says 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
So do you want to change that to 6?
I think that's a pretty wide open range. I'm a little...
Well, you guys can make the decision now.
Yeah.
This would be the time for you to talk about it right
I'm
now.
I'm more of a 6 months reserve type of person because you never know what the state, if they do a shutdown or something, it's always nice to have that cushion. You know, 3 months, if you do have a glitch, then you're dipping down, then the auditors go, okay, how come you're less than 3 months? You know, because you got payroll to meet and everything else, and who knows what's going on. But, you know, it's the 3 to 6 is the generally accepted range.
Because we could fall down to 5 and we're still in it.
Right.
And then we could look back at the budget.
Because the beauty of 6 is if we do have a problem somewhere, we have that reserve to dip into and correct whatever issue that was that came up.
Yeah, but that's a good question.
And that'll help the smaller counties more so because... Big bad rich right county, you know, we don't care. We just spend money like crazy.
That's my money.
I'm the region.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't see the urgency. I mean, I'm on one hand, I'm thinking that we'd be selling a future boards short because they're going to have this discussion every year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, granted, you know, a future board might be made up of lesser gods than us.
Yeah.
But
smarter gods.
In my opinion, it's good to have a little ladder over there. Gods.
Yeah, just get worshipped a little less. That's all there is to it.
Exactly. You know, I think we could entrust the future boards to look at that and say, you know, hey, we're under 4. We need to be on the cautious side.
Yeah.
As long as it's known all the time that it's 3 to 6. You know, and I agree with Mike that closer to 6 is a lot better.
Yeah.
It buys us a little bit of bounce in case something comes up unexpected.
Oh, and it can.
You know, like a library fire or something
there
like
go.
That? I'm not sure.
Any more discussion on that
Spoilers.
One? Let's not do that again. All right, we got a motion, a second, and we all have in favor. So let's move on to unassigned fund balance. We're going to need a motion and a second on that.
That's not what I was expecting.
Why not? What were you expecting?
We discussed the other one so much we don't have to discuss this one.
Right.
Give us a little lead, would you?
Okay. Okay. Karen, move on, please.
Okay. So at the last budget meeting, or at the last board meeting, we talked about the 0.44. Mm-hmm. And the board asked that we bring forward projects to maybe spend down some of that stuff. There's a much longer list. We pared this down to items that we could implement within the next 12 months, items that would impact or improve patron services positively, or build capacity within the organization to do other things. So patron amnesty is the first one we listed. There isn't a specific cost listed because we don't really know if it would cost us money. It's tricky because collecting fines is actually a revenue stream, and waiving fines just means you collect less revenue. What we wouldn't know is if the people who come in during that time frame would have paid their bill anyway. It's possible they wouldn't have come in at all. And so if we did this, for example, for the month of September, which is library card sign-up month, our risk is roughly in the $26,700 range if we did it for 1 month, because that's roughly what we collect in fines on average. So that's assuming that an average month of fines would not be collected. But because it's a revenue stream, we wouldn't necessarily have to offset it. But we did want to put it in here because it's something staff have asked for, patrons have asked for, and we think there would be a lot of benefit in bringing in lapsed borrowers into the library. So that's something that there's a lot of interest in moving forward, even though there isn't a specific price tag to it. It's hard to put a price tag on it. The user non-user study would be similar to what Stearns County did for their survey. I met with St. Cloud State to see what was possible. We could add a question to their regional survey in the fall for $1,000 or $2,000, but we could actually contract out our user non-user study rather than doing it in-house. And $8,000 was a number that they floated. I don't know if it would take that amount, but it would really help us get a better result for our strategic planning purposes. And it would also be less staff time in-house trying to replicate something like that, because we will be doing a user non-user study regardless. Security updates is something that the Library Safety and Security Committee has talked about. We don't have specific projects to fund right now, but we don't have a budget to fund specific projects. So this would be just setting aside money for things like mirrors in the corner of a library to improve visibility. And we thought it would be a good idea to set money aside for that. Tablets for staff use would allow us to demonstrate how to use an app. Right now, staff only have desktop computers to work with patrons on. A lot of people are coming in with their phones and their own tablets. Also, if we are to expand our social media presence, we need a tablet or a device to post to something like Instagram. You can't post to Instagram from a computer. So adding a tablet for every library would allow us to expand our social media presence, and it would also allow us to help patrons better. Canopy streaming would allow us to add a video streaming service, which we don't currently have. This is the platform fee. It's a one-time platform fee, but after that, as people use it, it generates a cost. So for us, it would be hard to get it started, but we do have a fund development collection revenue stream from our annual appeal, and that could offset the usage costs, but getting that platform started would be a good investment. Blue Cloud Analytics is a product that's put out by Circe Dynex, which is our integrated library service vendor. It integrates with our library system, would give us live reports of collection usage in a way that we can't generate in-house without spending a lot of staff time. So we'd have a visible dashboard on how CDs are checking out at the Uppsala Public Library without having to generate a lot of manual reports. So that is an annual fee, and so this would not be a one-time thing. It would be something we would try out, and we'd have to build into a future budget. But it was something we felt like was worth taking a look at, and if the board is willing to entertain something that could have tails, that is one of those items. Horizon Acquisitions is a module that would also build onto our existing product. And that is a $35,000 implementation fee. Right now, all of the books that get purchased, there's a separate manual process that's developed by a staff member who's been with us for more than 30 years. She uses Microsoft Access, and it's a fantastic process. That being said, it would be good to be able to cross-train on something that's part of our core business. And yes, it does have an annual fee, but it's not a huge one. It's just that implementation would be a big hump for us to jump over. So we would like to take a look at that so we could build some capacity within the staff for our acquisitions process. So that's buying the books. We talked about additional express checks and wiring at the last board meeting. So this is money set aside for four more stations. Keep in mind, we did set aside money for four stations at the end of 2017, so we're still rolling those out. This would bring us to 19 libraries with an express check if we got to that point. But one of the hurdles with express check is wiring in the buildings, because not all of our cities have the capacity to add the wiring. This puts a little money aside to help those cities get their buildings up to speed so that we could actually put in a network line for an express check.
Karen, before you move on from that one, so my understanding or my desire is to make sure that when we're doing these express checkouts, we're doing those single staffed libraries to help some of them out, enhance the experience, and help the staff that's there, because some people just want to check out. They don't need the help, but if the person there has to stop doing what they're doing, it makes other people not get the service that they're looking for. And since most of the big libraries, the major ones, already have it sitting there,
right,
I think it'd only be fair to spread this out to some of those other libraries, and that's how I'm taking care of my little brother over here in Benton County.
I know Royalton's on that list, and they are single-staffed. So.
Right, and that's what my desire is, because if we're in this together, the idea is to make the whole system better.
How many single-staff libraries do we have?
It depends on how you define single staff.
Okay.
If you mean single staff is you're open and there's only one person working the desk, that's most of the libraries that we have.
Okay.
We don't have a lot of depths in staffing beyond like the Buffalo, St. Michael,
Monticello, Elk River.
Mr. Chair, I would see that as a waste of money in this. I go in the Swanville Library and I can go in there any time of the day and I'm the only person there. So why would you want to invest something like that? I mean, I understand the philosophy behind it, but there's not a line waiting there to check out. So why would we do that?
The patron services supervisors have been working with IT and the library services coordinators to kind of figure out which the next priority places are. So like Foley is one where we're single staffed across
the
board.
Yeah.
And it's a bigger library. We still have libraries that are considered bigger that are single staffed. It's Foley, there's three people that work at the desk, but most of the time they're not working together.
But let's be good stewards on where we're putting it. So
One of the other challenges we're seeing with the express checks, and this may change over time, in some of the locations we installed last year, the Newark locations, because we're getting into those single staffed locations, they don't collect as many fines as what it costs to put that fines and fees module on it. So we're taking a look at that too, whether that's something we have to offer at every library. Keep in mind that's the only way we can take a credit card payment in-house. So it's a trade-off between offering a service and collecting the fine and making it budget neutral. So we're watching those locations as well.
I'm with Dave on that. If you got some single staffed libraries where this doesn't make a hill of beans sense, don't put it in there.
Right.
But if there's other ones that it makes sense to put it in because they're at that cusp, where do we do? They're fine, but you just don't put. Like my idea wasn't to put it in everyone, just put
I'm
it in there. Was put in the
that
ones that make sense.
And
if you set aside for four, but only three can handle, well then you only put three.
Right.
In.
I agree with that.
The last one we added was wireless printing for patrons. We know that wireless usage is going to surpass the number of internet usage in the next couple of years. We have more people coming in with their own device, with a laptop or a tablet, using the wireless access. But they aren't able to print because we don't have wireless printing. And so that is something that would have an annual fee. And we included it partly because I think it's something that we need to take a look at, if not now, soon. I know that we don't have a ton of demand for it, but it's hard to measure demand for a service you're not offering. So,
but we're still charging for the printing of that. So
it's 10 cents a page, right? We'd recoup some money from it, but it's not going to be budget neutral by any means. So that's the laundry list of things that came up with our leadership team in the last month. We do have other things that we would like to look at some point in time, but knowing we are likely to run another surplus this year, we can bring those forward if when we're ready.
The question to you is, you had a long list of wish list or whatever, and you whittle it down to this.
Right.
Okay, here now these floated to the top. These are the top ones you would like to see.
And it's roughly, of the $336,693, that's your 0.44 amount, it's about $259,000. But there are several items in here that would have tails, in that they do have an annual fee if we implement them. So if they work well, we'd probably want to find a way to sustain it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question on when we talk about amnesty. To me, a month is quite a long time for amnesty. Have we ever tried 2 weeks? Or we do have some, I know, periods, but.
Right. Well, we've been doing Read Down Your Fines. We ran a campaign for that a couple of years ago, and it was so highly supported by the public that we haven't waived the amount that we actually raised. We're still working on that. And so it's only offered to kids who are 17 and under, and they have to read for 15 minutes in order to get a dollar waived. Okay. And typically when we've advertised it for a week, we waive about $500.
Yeah. I guess I was just trying to cut our losses a little bit, and because, you know, the potential of them paying, if you give them a month, there's going to be the people that take advantage of it a little more than you probably would have. But
and I think we'd focus only on, like, the fees. We would, if they had a lost book, I think that's different. I mean, we want our materials back. We'd also want to look at cleaning up our books, too, because we have a lot of our debt history goes all the way back to when Dynex became live in 1993. And then when we converted in 1999. So we have really old bills on the books, and makes it hard for us to lower the billing threshold. But I think that's a different discussion because it's money we're never gonna collect.
Might as well
it's not really something we're gonna offset.
Up, yeah. Yep.
We should almost clean them up like every 9 years, on the ninth year, so then start.
Something like that. Yeah. We don't have a policy like that, but that's something we want to look at.
Yeah. And are these kind of in your order of your criteria?
Or I put them in order by cost.
Okay.
Okay. If you want me to prioritize, I could pick my favorites.
Well, it looks like the total budget on this is, what, $260,000 roughly, right? Yeah.
Plus the fines and fees piece.
Oh, okay. So any discussion on this at all?
What are your, Karen, what are your contemporaries in other areas finding of your laundry list there that most in demand or the most popular, the most, or don't any of them have any of these features? What are your professional associations' opinions on this stuff?
I would say if you're looking south, which is, you know, where people actually have money to spend on libraries, tablets for staff has already been implemented a long time ago.
Well, if you can demonstrate to somebody how to use an app.
You know, you look at what Verizon's doing, they don't even have point of service terminals anymore.
No.
They're walking around with that tablet. That's how they're serving people. Canopy streaming, people have been asking for streaming video for a long time. The benefit of Canopy is we're not competing with the Netflix and the Hulu. This is content that you can't get anywhere else. And it's things like great courses, which is something a lot of homeschoolers look for. So I think it would be a niche market, but it would get us into streaming, which, you know, DVDs are about a quarter of what we're circulating. If you look at the future, that's probably not going to be true in 5 years.
My point is that the decision points on which to pick would be based on market demand as opposed to the list which is set up on cost. So, you know, in that respect, you're the pro in this group. So we'd have to trust your judgment. Jeez.
But no, this was presented to us in the last week, kind of. You know,
right.
On the
I
paper,
mean, we're not
so
feeling like this is urgent.
Yeah,
if
we
you
don't
want
have
us to
make
go back to the drawing board or
no,
dig
no, I just think I'd like to
kind
of look and maybe talk to, you know, just have another discussion amongst you, Karen, and let the board members do. But I think we should just kind of absorb it and then let's move on and bring it back up and later, you know, say it's nothing pressing right now.
Right. I set it up so that if you wanted to take action, you could, with it being a special meeting, but there is no time sensitivity.
Are we good with that?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. So we can, so then we probably don't even need a motion on that one since we're just going to table it for now, correct?
I can bring it back in July.
July is fine.
Decline action.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll just decline action on that one. Okay. And then the next meeting is July 17th at 5 o'clock. Any more discussion? Need a motion to adjourn.
I'm moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All right, you got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Finger one.
All right.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 6:06.